Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Chantilly Toyota. Let's ride together.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
With kickoff rapidly approaching, now is the perfect time to start preparing for the fantasy football season. If you want to dominate your draft, check out the RotoWorld Draft Guide for everything you'll need to get a leg up on the competition. It includes more than 500 player profiles, Evan Silva sleepers and busts, mock draft analysis for six different types of leagues, positional rankings from five of our experts, customizable projections, and much, much more. So head on over to rotoworld.com/draftguide. That's rotoworld.com/draftguide to take your first step towards fantasy football glory.
This is CSN's Redskins Talk. Here is your host, JP Finley.
What up, everybody? It is Thursday, day eight of training camp. I think it's day eight of training camp.
Seven, but...
Well,
who's counting?
Rich Stantler's here, if you can't tell. I am JP Finley. This is Redskins Talk, the podcast. A spirited practice session today.
It was fun.
Yeah, it was a little ruckus. It wasn't a fight. There were no punches thrown, but there was some pushing and shoving and shouting.
It's a good thing they're off tomorrow.
Yeah, I'll put it that way. Things were progressing towards a fight.
Yes.
A lot of fun stuff to talk about. We have a special guest who's going to join us. After we go to our Chick Hernandez, got to sit down with Ryan Kerrigan today. They had a real good conversation and talked about some fun stuff. If you remember, if you watch our air, we did our superlatives yesterday and said best story and best dancer and all these weird things. And when Chick talked about that with Kerrigan. So I think you guys will enjoy it. Listen to that. We'll be back on the other side.
All right, Rhino. Although Rhino's the quarterback. By the way, do you turn your head every time you hear that at all? Because sometimes people call you Rhino. I might be the only one who calls you Rhino.
I kind of just assume it's they're talking to me. Yeah.
Okay. we're talking, 7 years now?
Yeah.
How has camp changed for you from that first year to now?
I think obviously when you come in as a rookie, you're feeling a lot more stress and a lot more pressure because you're new, you're the young guy. But now at this point going on year seven, I definitely feel more comfortable. Been through this a number of times, but you know that doesn't change the effort level or the focus or intensity. But yeah, you're just a little more comfortable around the guys. You know people, so it's just a lot more relaxed.
What have you changed in those years so that camp is not as hard on the body, hard on the mind from that first year?
I just try to make a point of emphasis to really get a lot of rest during our off hours. I really try to get a lot of sleep, make sure I get eight or nine hours a night. And that's a big thing, because if you can stay refreshed, then you can. It's really not too much to handle.
Again, a change. You've been through a few changes at DC in your time. So Joe Barry out. Greg Winoski, who was already part of the program, is in. Have you noticed a change in the way you guys do things?
A little bit, yeah. I mean, you definitely see a lot of different patterns of guys going forward, which is really exciting. Guys being asked to do a little more things, whether it's a D lineman covering a little more or a off the ball backer rushing a little more. It's pretty cool because it kind of keeps offenses on their heels.
It's not often that the coach is just as buff or buffer than some of the players on the squad. And Manusky is. He's got it.
Yeah, he's pretty yoked up. He's a big dude. I mean, you could tell he played 12 years in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
For you, what are your expectations? Obviously, this is a defense that underachieved last year by your own standards. What do you expect out of this defense? What do you want to see?
Well, I really feel like it's on us this year because we know our offense can compete with anybody they face in the NFL, and so we know if we do our job, we can be a really good team, and we can take this team as far as we can go.
How long does last year last with you? I mean, how long do you keep that yuck in you?
It lasted a few weeks. I mean, it was it definitely the way it ended, because we had so many opportunities to get into the playoffs and then just never fully took advantage of it. It definitely sticks with you a little bit when you're watching those playoff games, but then you got to put it behind you and focus on the next season.
So, I don't know if folks know this, but your childhood, a little half deaf in one ear.
Yeah.
How did it affect you when it took place as a youngster?
Honestly, not that much. I mean, it's all I know. This is normal hearing to me. So, I mean, it's the only time it really affects me is if I'm out in public at like a crowded restaurant and it's loud and someone's like if you and I were at a restaurant right now and you're on my left and it's then I have to do the whole head turn thing. Right. But it honestly hasn't been too much of a hindrance. I've never, like I said, this is normal hearing
right.
to me.
So. Right. Did you pick up lip reading at all?
Not really.
Okay.
I just kind of do if I'm
a head turn.
A lot of head turns and a lot of head nods. If I can't hear you, like, oh yeah, yeah.
We do that a lot in our business. So, what is Ryan Kerrigan? What was the best thing you did during the off season?
Probably got engaged.
Okay.
That's a good answer.
I guess I should say
definitely got engaged. But
yeah,
that was really exciting. Obviously. Big moment in life, and so I've been doing all the wedding right. planning and whatnot, which probably need to do a little more on my end. But right.
it's been busy though.
A little bit. I mean, we're very excited.
Out on the football field, you have to make a definitive move, and there's no doubt where you're going. I would imagine that your fiance, there was no doubt what she was going to say, but was there a little bit of that angst at all? Were you just like,
definitely
really?
A lot of nerves just in general.
Really?
Cause like, yeah.
Ryan's very nervous.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, and my fiance says it best. She's like, you're never nervous around me and you were acting so weird and nervous. She's like, I knew it was coming. I'm like, well damn it. That kind of ruined the whole surprise, I guess. But I thought I did well personally.
Right.
She was like, yeah, you were a little nervous.
Really?
So, yeah, but it was all turned out well.
Were you nervous when you were doing the Eastern Automotive commercials, by the way? Because that is some fine acting.
A little bit, because I'm not a good dancer.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not my thing. I got two left feet. And when you have to do just a little head bob like that, it's you want to make sure you're like concentrating to make sure you're on beat
right.
and everything. So it's
Are we expecting like a Sharknado 7 or anything like that?
Man, the world can hope. I was going to say I can hope, but the world can really hope that,
Did you
such
enjoy
cinematic
yourself?
Brilliance it, can be brought.
It was brilliance. I mean, I will say that, and I'm lying. But is that something you'd like to do once the career's over? You got the matinee idol good looks there. I'm just saying.
Thank you, Chick.
All-American guy,
That'd be fun. Obviously, I would never really consider myself an actor, but I definitely had a lot of fun doing Sharknado, that's for sure.
Right. Where was the engagement at, by the way?
Newport Beach, California.
Newport Beach, California.
Yeah. My fiance's from out there, so
right.
wanted to do it in where she's from.
Right. What will you do post-career? And I'm not saying, by the way, folks, that his career is near over, but what will you do post-career?
I don't know. I feel I probably should start thinking ahead, just because it's never too early to plan. But I haven't really made a decision one way or another. I mean, I'm just happy right now playing in for the Redskins and playing ball.
All right, biggest clown on this team is who?
That's a good question. We got
a few.
I mean, if you would ask me last year, I think the obvious answer we know who that would be.
Yeah.
But Comp's hilarious. He's a funny guy. I mean, you probably have to give it to Comp. He's a really funny guy.
Okay. Most serious guy on the squad?
I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know. We don't have – Derek Carrier's pretty serious.
Pretty serious?
He's pretty serious, dude.
Okay.
Yeah, he might be up there.
Coach who you just go, that guy's just a loon.
Oh, Tom Sula. he's so funny, though. He's his meeting rooms, I mean, some of the stuff he says,
really?
It's like, man, like I would never even think to say that. Yeah.
Tell you what, that was a pretty funny story about his engagement and how nervous he got. I know the night I got engaged, I was pretty damn nervous too. If you can remember back that far, do you remember how you felt?
A long time ago.
Yeah, but how long have you been married?
Let's see.
You better get this right, dude.
Well, 1980. So
you've been married 1 year longer than I've been alive.
Okay.
That's 36 years.
Right.
37, depending on the time. All right. Lots of fun stuff to talk about. We want to introduce our good friend, Brian McNally, who is sitting in on the podcast with us. Scoop, what's the word, man?
What's up? Just dropping into camp for a day, guys. Dropping into camp here.
See, Scoop's used to this good radio equipment where he thinks he can stand far away from the mic. Meanwhile, we're just in a tent with air conditioning blasting, and we're all huddled around this microphone.
This isn't even as good as when we were in Mobile and we were doing it in the car.
We have done so many podcasts from cars. That should be the name of this podcast, Podcasts from Cars. Actually, dude, that's right. So you've been on before. You're a recurring guest.
This is my second time, probably.
Yeah, man.
Maybe my third.
And that last time was Mobile, Alabama at the Senior Bowl.
At the Senior Bowl.
In a rental Kia.
Yep. It was a good time.
Yeah, it was great.
I wish I'd been there.
Yeah. It was a fun trip. We had fun. Ate some really good food. Anyway, Richmond day 7 or 8, depending on how you count. What'd you think today, Taylor?
Today on day 7,
it's a good little jab.
That down. it was a pretty good practice. I think, of course, the highlight was kind of a little sideshow when somebody from the sideline was heckling Kirk Cousins during
that was
seven on seven drills.
You have what he was yelling at him? Do you remember?
Yeah, it was like $25 million man, throw it downfield. That kind of thing. He was throwing a bunch of check down passes.
So this guy is going bananas on the sidelines, screaming. It was Rev T-esque, if you're familiar with Rev T.
That's a good point.
And this guy's going crazy, and he's, come on, $24 million man. Come on, $24 million man. Go up top. Go up top. And then this guy is going nuts yelling this. Literally, the next play, Cousins goes deep to Terrell Pryor. Great catch, great route, great throw.
Great tightrope down the sidelines, too.
Yeah, to stay in bounds. Yep. And then Cousins runs over to this guy that was kind of heckling him, and they, like, hardcore slap five. It was definitely, like, that fiery, you like that side of Cousins. Yes. You know what I mean?
I thought it was Tariq El-Bashir on the sidelines there. Kirk loves to go at people when they question him a little bit.
If they question him and he delivers, he will come at you and let you know.
He will come at you, whether it's a OTA's practice or it's an actual game.
Or it's the general manager on the sideline after a nationally televised game. What was that one?
How do you like me
how
now?
How do you like me now?
With a little hair mustache.
Well, look at this. Local celebrity Mitch Tischler decided to join us. How are you, Mitch?
I'm doing great, guys. How's it going so far?
You might have to get in here closer.
I'm in here. I'm good.
There are four dudes within like a 3-foot radius right here around this mic. So I really hope. Yeah, it's quite awkward to tell you the truth. There's another firework at practice that we need to discuss. But real quick, how good of a dude is Charles Honey?
Charles Honey is an incredible guy.
The Mount Rushmore of good dudes.
Yes. Without a doubt.
Charles, we appreciate you.
Thank you.
So, the second firework that we saw at practice, things were getting chippy. I mean, this secondary group talks so much, and most of that is led by DJ Swearinger. And the receivers aren't going to get pushed around.
The Greenwood, South Carolina contingent.
Right.
Yes, brings it.
Well, all the South Carolina guys.
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean,
yeah, that's Breland.
Breland, yeah, and then Tua will talk.
Yeah,
so those guys are always talking, and Redskins offense played pretty damn well today. I think the offense took the day certainly. And was it Kirk or Colt who threw it to Doxson? I think it was Colt.
Not sure.
I think it was Colt.
I thought it was Colt.
It was Colt.
It was a nice play. Colt was kind of flushed out of the pocket. Doxson's running along the back end of the end zone towards us, towards the close sideline. Colt makes a good throw, puts it where only Doxson can get it, low and down near the ground. Doxson gets down, scoops it, nice catch, TD, pops up, everybody's cool, and then bang, flips the ball right at Nico Marley's helmet, and then it was just chaos for 30 Game seconds, on. A minute, 2 minutes. It was no punch. I didn't see any punches. Did you guys?
No, it was a lot of shoving.
Shoving.
Some aggressive shoving.
Absolutely. And today we had DJ Swearinger mic'd up. You'll probably see that, let's say, Monday or so. It was pretty great. The chippiness started on 7-on-7. Pascal.
That was a bad idea.
You know his first name? Number 16 wide receiver?
I think it's Zach.
Zach. Pascal. Kind of got tripped up on a slant over the middle, got up and started talking, and all of a sudden the entire DB crew of Norman and Sua and Swearinger and Breland just bolted out at him, and they were kind of, you know, rookie, get back to the huddle, like, stop talking, you know, who are you? I don't even know your name. Like, you know, just, you know, good trash
guys
talk.
Are vicious.
And then after, so vicious. And then after the ball flip from, after the ball flip, the powder keg kind of erupted.
Yeah.
Two plays later, Mac Brown was got caught up in the backfield by Lyndon Trail, who, you know, it's supposed to be kind of a wrap and let the running back go. Yes. He kind of wrapped and held him, and Mac didn't like it. And then all of a sudden, you had Pascal again in the secondary give a little push to one of the new DBs. One of the two new DBs that was out there. Breland came out, gave Pascal a little push, and then all of a sudden, Niles is in the middle, you know, hair going everywhere, yelling
by
pushing
the way,
and shoving.
Credit to you, Mitch, for calling that on Twitter before practice that there would be a fight and that 84 Niles Ball would be at some point involved.
You said that a few days ago.
My call was Niles Paul, dude.
Yes. My call today
for the record
was Niles and Swearinger. It wasn't quite that because neither of the two of them were the starters of it. Of course, they both were right in the middle
right
of it.
There.
We haven't had an official fight yet.
We haven't had an official fight.
Still not a fight.
It was a scuffle.
It was fighting weather, though.
Yeah.
I
think Gruden smartly stopped the drill. Everybody kind of like got a sip of water, and then they came back in different positions. Mm-hmm. And that two-minute drill they run, you're not going to fight in that because they're actually playing at live speed. You're going to hustle to the ball for the next play.
Correct.
I think I caught Jay walking off the field. I was like, it's getting a little testy out there. And he said, yeah, I like it. Like, I mean, I think for the coach, especially it never quite escalated, he wants that intensity.
You like that simmering without coming to a full boil.
For sure.
It's also the perfect situation. Four straight days of pads. The guys have a day off tomorrow. So lots of time to let bygones be bygones, you know, move on. So it felt like a scuffling kind of day.
Something tells me Zach Pascal, they're not going to forget him, though.
No.
Right.
No,
they still won't learn his name.
But there's also the rookie Quick was also in the middle of it, too.
That is James Quick.
James Quick. Yeah. I got names and I got numbers. I got last names and I got numbers. The first names will come. Yeah. When you make the squad, that's when Mitch remembers your name.
Listen to you.
I love it.
I don't remember names and numbers.
Thank you, Rich.
Make the team?
He just referred to himself in the third person also. Did you miss that?
That was far more offensive.
Yeah. We can discuss practice squad players, the Zach Boyer Memorial practice squad list that you should know everybody.
Yes, absolutely.
But
shout out to Zach.
Yeah. Not on the Mount Rushmore of good dudes.
By the way. Not at all.
Like at the foot of Mount Rushmore, maybe.
Josh Doctson wanted no part of talking about that.
We tried,
and he was not having it.
And I tried to find Nico afterwards, but I never saw him.
He might have snuck off the field pretty quick.
Probably smart because everybody was coming over there.
Yeah.
And dude, the one thing I say, if you're Nico, you've got to go hard in that situation because everybody's going to try to clown you. You're a little guy.
They're testing him.
Right.
They're testing him for sure.
Well, and everybody, all training camp long, has been treating Nico like their little brother, like, oh, we're going to root for him. We're going to tap him on the helmet, tell him good job. Yeah. At some point, he's a football player, and he wants to make this football squad.
Got to compete.
So you got to compete.
Right.
You got to not be the guy who happens to be there.
Right. Rob Kelly didn't practice again. Or he did individuals, didn't do team drills. I talked to him running off the field. I'm like, dude, what is going on? Still your neck? He's like, no, they just keep telling me not to practice. And I was like, do you want to be out there? Hell yeah, is what he told me. So I'm just confused by it a little bit.
Well, maybe.
Is this where you're going to poo-poo me and tell me?
Well, no.
Are we going to freak out
about
the
injury? You want me to be a part of the podcast or what?
I do.
Okay, thank you. Maybe they still think, you know, they have doctors. Players always want to play. Don't players, they would never miss a game if they had their choice, unless they had a bone physically broken or
right.
ligament physically torn. So of course he wants to be out there, but you know, maybe the doctors are saying you're fine. I mean, you know, it feels okay now, but they want to guard against a recurrence, so they're keeping out for a few more days. And he disagrees with that strategy.
Yeah, and it's not
what
a big
it sounds
deal.
Like to me.
It's not a big deal either. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he should.
I'd be shocked if Fan Appreciation Day on Saturday, he's not out there.
Right. It's Crowder out there.
Yes.
No.
Ooh.
I think hamstring could be.
I
soft tissue, man.
I talked to him the other day. No. When he was walking off the field, he doesn't want to talk about it, so we were walking and talking real fast.
That's my thing. When they talk about it the way Kelly did,
right.
that means it's not that serious. When
they
either
don't
deflect
talk about it,
or
yes.
don't want to talk about it.
It's a good point.
That's when you know it's a little, you know, yeah, did Jay not, say the other day?
It's
could
not
be,
serious.
No,
yeah.
but could be a week, yeah. could be a little longer.
Right, well, that was, I tried to give Jay the wiggle room, like, hey, man, if this was real, if this was September, would these guys still be on the injury report? And that's when he said, soft tissue, you don't really know. Mm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'll say Crowder was out on the, during the main 11-on-11 portion, he was out on the second field running around catching balls. So it's not like he, whatever the grade of the hamstring injury is,
yeah.
he's still out there moving around. He's not limping. He's not sitting off the side. He's not getting, you know, the electro treatment 24/7. So
maybe, maybe discretion is there, you know, buzzword here.
Same guy I was just talking about. Wait till it's fine, and then wait a few more days.
It's a long way to go, by the way. We think, wow, camp's been going on for a while, but I mean, these guys don't play a real game for another. What are we talking about? At least over a month.
5 weeks from Sunday.
5 weeks, so you have time.
August 10th in Baltimore. That doesn't count as a real game.
Oh man!
Four plays, one drive, touchdown. Let's go.
Let's take it easy. You can watch that Redskins at Ravens game on CSN.
Ding ding.
Well played.
All right, let's all do one player that popped for you today, this week. Give me one player. They have to be different. So we'll let Tandler go first. Age before beauty.
Please. I'm going to go with Josh Doctson, and just because he's kind of shown me, you know, not that I ever thought he was soft, but he's kind of showing me a tough streak and a little bit of a...
There's a dog in there.
Yeah, a little bit of a nasty streak.
Mitchell?
I'm going next. DJ Swearinger. I think he brings a nastiness to that defense. He also brings an enthusiasm. As good as Josh Norman is, Josh is a pretty quiet, subdued guy. DJ is your loud, gregarious, over-the-top kind of guy who's going to really bring that defense energy.
Provides an identity, too,
yeah.
right, a little bit. A little bit of that.
A little bit of that nastiness.
That toughness they've always talked about building but never been able to because they didn't have the talent or the personality.
Or the guy, yeah, the dog. I mean, like yeah. Doctson, but to the if Doctson's a Doctson, then Swearinger's a bulldog.
Right. Well, that was impressive.
Wow. You got Giggly Tandler, though. He's into it.
I think Josh is a little bit more than a Doctson.
That was good.
Killer Doctson.
One of the lamer jokes of all time.
Sounds like a
Tandler liked it.
Tandler liked it.
Dude, Tandler was telling me and Pete jokes on the sideline earlier, and they were some terrible jokes. One of them you could say on here, right?
Yeah, any of them podcast...
Say the one that was about...
Okay. Pete said, I think Ryan Grant kind of can't find his contacts. And you're
right.
Like, what? And, you know, eyepieces. So my joke was, police officer pulls this lady over, goes up beside the car, looks at her driver's license, says, hey, this says you're supposed to be wearing glasses. This is right here, glasses. She goes, officer, I have contacts. And the police officer says, I don't care who you know, this says you're supposed to be wearing glasses.
All right,
the other one's funny.
Tell the other one.
Okay.
You can say that.
There's a guy who is stoned on marijuana is sitting at a stop sign. Could be other things.
All right, dude.
Yeah. He's sitting at a stop sign and not moving. And a police officer comes along, sees him sitting there, and goes up in there and he goes, dude, what are you doing just sitting here? He goes, I'm waiting for it to turn green.
Better.
That marginally.
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 The bar was low, but
And that was joke time with Rich Tandler. That should become a recurring segment.
That should absolutely
be. I think we do this like once a week, once every 2 weeks. So we need to do this.
Tuesdays with Tandler.
That means I got to come up with clean jokes. I don't have it. That was pretty much my.
But Taylor, those were the jokes you went with out on the field. There was no hot mic out there.
It's true.
What's a pirate's favorite letter?
Get out of here, Mitch. Everybody knows that, dude.
You think it's the R, but it's really the C.
Oh my God. Oh,
that was a curveball. I didn't expect that.
Still terrible.
Yes, still terrible, but nice curveball.
Let's
get back to your player.
Our listenership is plummeting. So my player, and I'm going to make a bigger point, I guess. My player is Zach Brown, but my bigger point is I think we have now seen Zach Brown supplant Mason Foster with the starting defense. If you watch today, every time it was in 11-on-11 drills, and it was the starters out there, it was Compton and Brown. And then that two-minute drill at the end, which to me is really when everybody's doing their best, going their hardest. It was Brown out there. And the interception at the very end was Zach Brown tipping that ball that Josh Norman got a hold of. I don't know that it's the right call, but I think the call has happened.
I think it's right. I think you have to find snaps for Mason Foster. But I think that Brown and Compton.
I think they're all going to play.
The moment that deal was made.
Right.
That's who I said.
And there's no surprise, but I just think it has happened. All right, before we get Scoops One player, we want to thank our guy, Jason Murphy, who's been down here producing with us all week and putting up with a whole bunch of crap from me and Chick and Tandler and Mitch and everybody. So, Murph, say hi to everybody.
Hello, everybody.
Murph's a good dude, and he was mad that he's never been on the podcast, so now you've been on the podcast.
Now I've been on the podcast.
Is there one player that has stood out for you in your time here? Quickly?
One player. I mean, Terrell Pryor has been incredible. I'm sure everybody has mentioned Terrell Pryor, but the catches that he's making over dudes who get paid a lot of money are really, really impressive for someone who's played wide receiver for a year and a half, 2 years.
The first time you see him, the size just pops.
Yeah.
He's so big.
Incredible.
Humongous.
All right, Murph, you did good, bud. Thanks for
good
coming.
Work, guys.
All right, Scoop, your player, and then we wrap.
So I was going to say Terrell Pryor, so that's off the board.
I
got scooped.
Scoop got scooped.
Well played.
By the way, one of the two wide receivers as the best players in camp so far.
No quarterback.
Sorry, I'm just talking about linebackers, real football stuff over here.
Yeah, you're a football player.
So let's go with someone else. Let's talk about, I've only been here one day, obviously, so I'm pulling this one
out.
But I'm going to say.
Get honesty from Brian McNally.
Yeah, I think Junior Gallette.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I think, given what we saw in the off-season workouts and how he did more than we expected him to sooner, and now him being out there and looking like he kind of gives Trent Williams a battle.
He gives him a go, yeah.
Right? He's not just out here kind of going through the motions, and they need him. Trent Murphy, obviously, we know, is not going to be there until week 6 because of the suspension.
Anderson is not
probably not ready for
a speed rush guy yet.
He's
no.
He'll get some snaps, but,
I think he's a run stuff guy anyway.
Junior is, it still seems like a long shot that he gets back to what he was in New Orleans, but that skill set is what they need, right? And to pair him opposite Kerrigan, we've seen Preston Smith kind of regress here.
So Preston Smith kind of, I don't know
hurt.
If he rolled his ankle or what, but the injury report today was Preston Smith being evaluated for an ankle sprain. So ankle sprain could be
2 weeks.
3 weeks. Yeah. I mean, if it's that high ankle, the dreaded high ankle, hell, you remember Steven Davis a bunch of years ago sat out like 6 games with a high ankle sprain?
Yeah. So Gallette would be my choice because you need him. You need that skill set, and he looked pretty good today.
Yep.
From what you guys have been saying, he's looked good all camp.
The only thing I would add with the Gallette stuff is I almost wonder if he's getting too many reps. Like, he's out there a lot because he's usually out there with the ones and the twos.
And am I wrong? Didn't Jay say they would give him a rest if they needed, like early in?
Yeah, he did.
He said if the trainers thought so. I think they want to get him back into shape too.
Yeah, I think Jay said yesterday he needs the work, right?
Right.
Okay. So these 5 weeks, they can't really. They need him to play. They
so
can't
it's tough.
Really say,
he needs extra work, but he also you got to be extra careful.
It's a tough line to.
Right.
It's tough to balance that because
you know what? But if it's gonna go, it's gonna go. And
right.
He's gonna get hurt.
Right.
At
things
some
happen.
Point.
Right.
Well, I was thinking more of the because when D'Angelo came back, D. Hall came back from his Achilles. He had the next summer a lot of nagging soft tissue injuries. He had hamstring, knee, right? He had all these little
things. But his came in week three, whereas Junior Gallette's came before training
camp Achilles
started.
A couple of years ago, right when he came back the next summer to play. That next training camp after he tore the, remember he tore the Achilles, what, twice, once trying to get a pizza
in
the other?
Yeah, D'Angelo.
With D'Angelo, right.
Yeah, but I mean, that was in week three.
Oh, when it happened.
When it happened. And so what, it was nine weeks prior
so
to
he
that.
Had, you're saying he had less
Gillette's
time.
Happened. Gotcha. Yes. D'Angelo
and,
had less.
And tore it again 5 weeks later.
Right.
So he really tore it in October.
Yeah, he was on a...
All right, we're nerding out about a 2011 D. Hall injury here. We're going to wrap it up. My favorite part of this podcast, and I don't know if you guys noticed this, when we brought Murph in to say hi to everybody, Pete stood in the corner like a puppy, like waiting to be called on, and I just enjoyed not calling him
and watching him
over there.
He literally like put his head down and walked out of the house. a little
it's
broken.
Like an episode of Mean Girls in here.
So,
I didn't know if you guys
Pete,
this
Pete was on the podcast yesterday and was terrible.
What kind of dog would Pete be?
What kind, dude, I don't know.
We're getting off the rails.
Guys, thank you for listening. No podcast Friday because there's no practice on Friday. We will be back with a fresh podcast on Saturday. It's Fan Appreciation Day, so if you're coming out here, yell for Tandler. He would love to sign any autographs and kiss any babies. Right, Tandler?
Right, and we'll make it Podcast Listener Appreciation Day, too.
It'll be Podcast Listener Appreciation Day. So if you're out
here... Mention that to JP and he'll buy you a beer. Oh, wait, there's no beer here.
I tell you what, if you made it this far, I owe you a beer.
Right. Or two.